We have two readings today. They're on the board. The first one comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we could have read it all. I just jumped a little bit on it, but chapter 4, if you look up there, 1 through 4. So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It's the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes, and he will bring what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. Then I asked you, if you would, to jump to verse 9, if you'll look and continue there. He's continuing to talk. He goes, "For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like men condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to men. We are fools for Christ's sake. But you," and that's the Corinthians, "you are so wise in Christ. We apostles are weak, but you Corinthians are strong. You guys are honored. We are dishonored. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty, and we are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless, and we work hard with our hands. When we curse, we bless, and when we are persecuted, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth and the refuse of the world." Here ends the reading. Like you, if you would, please, to turn to the gospel lesson. Comes out of Matthew chapter 11, and it's an account that may or may not be familiar to you, related to John the Baptist. John is in prison, to be aware of that. He's already been arrested by Herod, and so that is the situation that he has to deal with. When John heard in prison what Jesus was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist, yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." That's where I'm going to end the reading for this morning. I'd like to invite children to come down if you would. Going to have ice cream for you today. That sounds good to me, huh? Yummy, yummy. Keep coming. Spread out. That's good. Make room for more. Got more people coming. Slide one way or the other. There you go. You can sit over there, too. There we go. All right, you guys. What did I tell you we're going to get today? Ice cream. So what do you expect to have at the end of children's sermon? Ice cream. That's a fair thing. That's called an expectation, right? That means you expect me to give you ice cream. And you usually expect it to come at the end of the children's sermon, right? And that's okay. And that's important. I'm glad you guys are expecting that. Because we're going to be talking about that in sermons today, okay? We're going to be talking about expectations. Do any of you expect something for Christmas? Have you told mom and dad or somebody what you want for Christmas? Is it okay if you don't get it? You're sure? You heard that, mom and dad. No presents. They don't want any presents. All right, they're all looking at mom. Are you listening, mom? Don't listen now, mom. Right? Yeah, we have, what's the call? Big people have that too. Guess what? There's no ice cream today for big people. There are potatoes, though. Organic grown potatoes in the back of the kitchen. You're welcome to take some back there. So a little bit different than ice cream, but you do have potatoes to look forward to. Here's what I want to talk to you about. This is what the sermon is going to be. Sometimes we think it's going to be coming to us in one way. Like if I walked up to you, I reached back here, and I brought it out, and I said, here is your ice cream. What would you expect it to be in? A container, like an ice cream holder, a cone. Yes, a holder. You're absolutely correct. A bowl, a holder, or something. Well, today, you're expecting something, and I'm glad you're expecting it. And here's the good news. You are going to get it, but it's not going to come the way you think. And that's what I'm going to try and teach the big people in the sermon. That's not easy to do. Here's the truth. Some people, I've seen little kids, big kids too sometimes, they didn't get what they wanted for Christmas, and they throw a thing and they stamp their feet and they act like really bad children, really naughty. And I have seen parents take the presents away and give them away to somebody else. But it's because they thought they were going to get something. They had it in their head, and it came to them in a different way. Now, I'm going to try and help the big people understand that, but for you, I'm hoping you'll figure it out when I give you your ice cream today. So are you ready? Okay, good. No, stay seated. Don't stand up. No, don't. Go sit down. All right, well, that's good. Let them go. It's okay, honey. Here. Whoop, that one we did. One broke loose. There we go. There's one for you. Take that to mom. Yes, I got one for you. What are they? Open one up, mama. Tell them what it is. It's a Culver's gift card. So you now can take your family to Culver's. As long as mom and dad are good, you can take them along. And, whoop, not that one. There you go, hon. Here we go. Wait. Here you go. I got plenty. I didn't forget about you. Whoop, I got to find the... They're in here somewhere. Is that one okay for you? Or did you want to rent? You're okay? Some of the cards fell off the stickers. There we go. One for you. You're welcome. One for you. One for you. Very good. You get to go back to your seats now. Now, what did you learn today, kids? I didn't give you ice cream in the bag, did I? But every one of you has got how much? $5 to go to Culver's and get the ice cream that you want. Now, you don't have to know who gave. I'd like to take credit. It wasn't mine. Someone wonderful gave that to us to give to the kids. So praise the Lord for that gift. And when something comes, you can expect it one way and get it delivered to you a different way. Here's the best part. You get to go and get fresh custard of your own choice in a sundae, or a cone, or something else that they have at Culver's. And so in one sense, you could be frustrated it didn't come the way you expected, which would might be an ice cream cone if I had them all sitting back here. But it came even better than you anticipated. Sometimes the hard part, though, is now you got to get mom and dad maybe to take you there after lunch or after church or whatever. Culver's has got a great technique going, don't they? So it worked wonderfully, and so praise God for that. Did I get all the kids? All the kids got their treat? Good. The big ones, no treat for you. Would be the treat Nazi, yes, those of you who remember that. I love this text, fascinating text, though. It's kind of a challenging one in one sense. I thought that if I would do some of the same things John MacArthur was doing, that no one would get sick. I expected that. I didn't say it out loud. I wasn't that naive to verbalize it. But in the back of my mind, I thought, John MacArthur is meeting with 7,000 people on an average Sunday or 5,000 people on a Sunday, and they're doing all these things that they're doing, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, not wearing masks, et cetera, et cetera. And I go, oh, it didn't work that way for me. Expectation, disappointment. I want you to understand this sermon. The idea of why this is so important is Jesus is not just dealing with John the Baptist, and he does deal with, but he has a sermon within the lesson. And the sermon within the lesson is for you and me. And it's about disappointment, expectations, and everything else. Try to understand the setting of this text. John the Baptist is in prison. He is a righteous man. He has lived righteously. He has lived the life of a prophet in outfits made of camel's hair, a leather strap around his waist, and eating locust and honey, grasshoppers. Okay? That's his lifestyle. He, in a sense, has given everything up to serve God. He goes and he preaches against the administration, the governmental forces. And he finds himself, because he says, you have married your brother's wife, you are an adulterer, you're a wicked man to the king. The wife, who used to be married to Herod's brother, gets all upset with him, and Herod, out of being afraid of Mama, arrests John the Baptist. And so John is sitting in the prison waiting for something to happen, and he's not sure how the issue is going to turn out. When Jesus comes into the area, the news is John MacArthur, or whatever you want to pick as yours, is walking down the street. Would you go ask him why God was so good to you and why he messed me up? Right? Here's John the Baptist. You two disciples, he's got his disciples, he sends them. You go ask Jesus if he's the right one. Did we pick out the right one? Or should we wait for something else or someone else? And that's the expectation statement. Did I choose well? Did I figure it out ahead of time? Did I think it through? Did I assume something in my expectation? Now that becomes the challenge for you, to understand how easy it is when the kids walked up and I said, you're going to get ice cream for a treat. I wasn't lying, but they may have developed an expectation of an ice cream sandwich or an ice cream cone or popsicle or something that they could have unwrapped, taken back to their seat and eaten. That would have been an acceptable, understandable explanation of that. As I went on, those of you who are paying attention caught the idea that something else was taking place. And so John the Baptist wants to know, have I got this right? Did I mess it up? And here's the real question. How come I'm hurting? If you're God, and I've been serving God, and you're God's son, how come I'm hurting? How come my life is not good? How come people I love, myself included, are sitting here in prison, hated by the king, being threatened with death, etc., etc.? How come I am in this situation? Now, you have to hear that. That's the grieving of John's heart. He's lived believing and obedient to, you know, to the Lord. He sacrificed and served God with his life. And in the middle of this crisis, this situation, you've got to understand, now he doesn't know if he's ever going to make it out. Is prison going to be the end game for me? All right? And so he's asking Jesus, how come if you're God, it's not going well with me? That's what I want you to hear. That's the question we all ask at one point or another. How come my paycheck isn't enough to stretch to the end of the month? How come this? How come my family, this happens to me or my marriage, my family, my kids? You fill in the blank with whatever you want. You have an expectation and you're wondering, where are you, God, in the middle of this expectation? Which is exactly what Jesus was being asked. Jesus responds. Very legitimate answer. He said, you go tell him what you see. Okay? You tell him what you've seen now. And he answers that point very quickly in his concept there in terms of the phrases here. The blind are seeing, the lame are walking, the leprosy, people are being cured, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Sounds good to me. You know, I'd go on the YouTube and pick up the latest John MacArthur. Yep, we had 7,000 people on Sunday. Nobody sick. Next time. 7,000 people on Sunday. Nobody sick. The government's beating us down. The Supreme Court came to their rescue. Goes on. You know. So in my heart, you got to understand, this is a text for me as well as you. I don't want you to walk around or think that I don't live with expectations. I do. It breaks my heart. I carry the weight when somebody I love or care about is part of the congregation. I shouldn't say mine. The Lord's congregation is sick or hurting. That affects me individually. And also affects when I find out that a family is hurting or there's a crisis in a singular family. And am I doing what I should do? Am I not doing what I should do? And then, like everybody, we always compare ourselves too, right? You go, I wish I was as fast as that guy or girl. I wish I could jump as high as that guy or girl. I wish my house was more like that one. I wish I had a car like that, or this was more like that in our family, or something else. And you have these lists that form, whether you think about them or not, subconsciously or unconsciously. It's not like I wake up in the morning going, I'm going to see what's new in John MacArthur's church so I can be jealous or disappointed, all right? I just happened to go, that for me was encouraging. I was being faithful, I was being obedient. And then you have people get sick and you begin to go, Lord, what's happening here? Now, that's what I want you to feel also. Maybe in your own individual walk, maybe in your family situation, whatever it is, I want you to see yourself as faithful. I want you to see yourself as obedient to God, but I also want you to be challenged by that expectation, because expectations are really difficult. I thought we were going to get ice cream when the children's sermon was over. Well, did you get it? Yeah, but we got to go over to Culver's to pick it up. Not quite what I expected. So you begin to understand. Now watch this next verse. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me, said Jesus. I can get frustrated with Jesus, can't you? I want this to happen. I want it to happen now. I can say Jesus/God. You know, I'm praying for this, God. It's not happening. How come you're not coming through? How come it seems to work in their life or in that congregation or in this group of people, in this role but not that role, in this person and not that person? What's going on? How come you love them more than you love me? How come I'm in prison, God? And here he is saying, I hope John does not lose his faith because of the way his life is going and what he expected of me. I hope the kids remember their children's sermon when they go to Culver's and take their little card and buy the ice cream that they were empowered to get because of the children's sermon gift this morning. I don't want them to be waylaid, moved away from being faithful to God because of how I did it. Jesus also is very much aware. You have to be understanding that at the time he's healing people in multiple places all around and up and down Jerusalem, Galilee, and different places. There are many, many places around the world where people are just living and dying. Why did Jesus choose Jerusalem? Why did he choose the Jews? And the answer in Scripture says they had nothing. They weren't special. It isn't like they had super brainy people. That God picked them. And they received this. And so you begin to understand there's this unbelievable ministry going on between Jesus and John. Be alert to that, okay? Jesus is saying to John, don't fall away because you're not getting quite what you expected. Now, we know the ending of the story of John. He gets his head chopped off by a jealous woman whose daughter danced, impressed the king, and said, I'll give you whatever you want. She goes to her mother and says, have them chop John the Baptist's head off. And that's John's reward, at least from an external perspective. That's John's reward for being faithful to God. And you go, whoa. And then he adds to you again, I hope none of you fall away because of me, because you thought it should turn out a different way, or you didn't understand how significant this whole message really is. And so here's the thing that he now goes to next. It says, as John's disciples were leaving, Jesus now turns to the crowd. All right? So what are you learning? Crowd, I'll allow you to kind of step into that. What is Jesus helping you understand? This is the question. What did you go out into the desert to see? What did you think was going to happen? How did you think this was going to turn out? I thought Christians would live to 120 years and then die. All happy and never have anything bad happen. Well, that's nice, Bruce. Get into the real world, right? What did you expect? And that's a key verse too. You have to define what you expected. You understand? If you expected this and God delivered this, this is the level of frustration you might be feeling related to whatever it is you're picking. I thought when I switched jobs, the job and everything would be easy. I was expecting this. I got this. I thought if I did this, my wife or husband, my children would say, oh, Dad or Mom, you're so wonderful. You're so loving. You're so caring. I expected this. My children delivered that. That's your level of grief, of pain, of frustration, disappointment. God, I thought if I obeyed you, I would get this, and you keep delivering down here at a level I really don't want. And the question behind this issue is, do I really want to follow God? You've got to ask that. Do I want to follow God? You have to understand, the passage that was read in Corinthians to you is a very serious passage because it communicates to you these men who followed God, who maybe had an expectation like John the Baptist, I thought I'd be out of jail right away. I thought you'd have a miracle and the gates of the jail would be flung wide and I'd come out dancing and singing and praising God. And instead, this nasty woman with this nasty daughter does this nasty thing to me out of pure vengeance. And my life feels like it got wasted. You understand the context now. Keep with me if you would. What did you go out in the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind, rolling back and forth? If not that, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? Are you disappointed by what God sends as a prophet? Did you expect him to be wussy? Ah, I don't know what we should do. Did you expect them to be? You understand, we have expectations. They're there in our heads. And so he goes on from that point. He said, did you see a man dressed in fine clothes? He said, those kind of people are in palaces. This is a guy that you would look, oh my goodness, when was the last he showered? What does he eat? He's eating grasshoppers. Oh my goodness. And look at the outfit. It's the scratches. It'd be like you putting on a burlap bag. Only it's made out of camel's hair, which according to everybody is the outfit that prophets would wear. All right? Goes from that point. He continues on. He said, did you expect to go out and see a prophet? Yes, and I'm telling you, more than a prophet. What did you think? I was going to have an ice cream cone? Well, yeah, or an ice cream sandwich, or maybe a drumstick or something. Yeah, you didn't get that, did you? More than what you expected. Some families got enough to buy 2 ice cream cones for everybody in your family. And you begin to understand there are some lessons that he's asking these people to take care of. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, that and it goes, this is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Fully prepare is the word in the Hebrew or the Greek. I tell you the truth. And this is what I like, and I call it a zinger. I tell you the truth. Those born among women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Wow. Just about the time you're ready to go, poor John, Jesus goes, you don't understand. This is my top man ever been raised. This is my top prophet. This is a man who I love wholeheartedly. And he's setting this up for you. And he says, there's been no one greater. And then he adds that. He goes this, yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. And you begin to go, what's this kingdom of heaven? Because I'm nowhere near what John is. I want what you're giving me or offering me. And I want to know what this kingdom of heaven is. And so into this moment, you have got these all coming due, putting pressure on the people listening who are trying to figure this thing out. Remember, when this sermon is preached, there, John the Baptist is still in jail, prison, but he's not dead yet. And you have to understand the impact when finally this thing happens. You go, I didn't expect that. It's not what I wanted, that kind of thing. Watch what he does as he finishes it off. For the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of, oh, sorry, I skipped a part there. I tell you the truth, no one is greater than John the Baptist, yet he is the least, and the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And I could go further, but I preached on that before, so I'll pause for a moment. I want you to understand the significance of this. God is looking at you and me, asking you, what did you expect? I expected COVID to be over in a month. Anyone want to join me and give me an amen to that? You know, I can handle a month at home. That's not all bad. Kids are going, even school at home is not all that bad for a month. Then you go to the second month, and you're beginning to go, this isn't quite as much fun as it was the first month. Then you're worried about people losing their jobs, and you start looking around, and the restaurants aren't open, and you've got to wear masks, and then they got this conflict, and it goes on and on and on and on until finally we're in the condition of the situation we're in now, listening to so-called doctors and governors talk out of one end of their mouth or the other, saying, go ahead, run around as much as you want, or don't run around as much as you want. And you've got, you know, friends in California, they're afraid to come out of their houses, while in Florida, all the doors and everything's opened up. And you're going, what is wrong with this nation? What's happened to the people? And here you and I are, what is it you're expecting? If God takes you tomorrow, are you ready? If God lets you go tomorrow, are you ready? Have you created this expectation and you're going to be delivered this, but you won't understand till it's all over? Now watch this part. I told the kids I'd give them an ice cream cone. That's where the expectation was. And we ended up, because of the gift, giving them a $5 gift certificate to Culver's. In other words, I thought this was as good as it's going to be. And you got to watch this because this is important too. I thought we'd learned all the lessons we were supposed to learn in COVID. I thought I was where I was supposed to be. And God goes, no, watch what I do with this. And he brings a blessing. And he pours blessing on John the Baptist. Even in dying, John the Baptist is a testimony of faithfulness. Even in all of these things, John is giving testimony to his people, to the world, of who Christ really is. And at the same time, and if you have your phones or Bibles handy, and you go back to that section, you're going to find in Corinthians now, in 4, there are two sections. I'll allude to both of them just slightly. The first one, in 1 through 5, is that God is the judge. God determines what's going to happen or not happen, or whether this does or doesn't happen in John MacArthur's church or this church here or anybody else fellowshipping around the world or whatever it is. This is the first part of the section which commands you, directs you, judge nothing before the appointed time. Don't judge me because you didn't get an ice cream cone or an ice cream sandwich. Wait till the end and watch how it turns out. Then you're starting to live as God has called you to live. It becomes really important. The Lord says, I don't want to lose any of you because of the way I'm handling life and circumstances in your futures and your families. I don't want to lose none of you. But you're going to have to learn. Judge nothing before the appointed time. You may think you're innocent. You may think your expectation is right on. God says, don't even go there. Like the Apostle Paul, I make no judgments. I don't even judge myself. I let God be God. And then the second part I read to you, starting there at, I believe, verse 9. I read this to you. Try to understand this as he goes on. It seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession like men condemned to die. Everybody threw rocks, apples, rotten fruit, anything they had at the last of the parade going by. Instead of it being like a parade where the most important person comes at the end, these parades put the important people at front and the grunge and the criminals and the dead people walking at the end. And then watch, because it goes, we've been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as men. We are fools for Christ, meaning we serve him that diligently. All right? We're fools for Christ. But you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you Corinthians are so strong. You're honored, we're dishonored. To this very hour, we go hungry, we go thirsty, we're living in rags, we're brutally treated, and we're homeless. We work hard with our own hands, and when we're cursed, we bless. When we're persecuted, we endure it. And I go, do you understand, as you start to put this all together, develop the expectations. I will follow you, God, no matter what. When my prayer gets answered, yes, I will follow you, God. When my prayer gets answered, wait, here's $5 to go get the ice cream. I will follow you, God. When my prayer gets answered, no ice cream for you today, all you older kids. Okay? I will still follow God. And so that's the lesson he's trying to get us to understand. You have to follow him no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the situation is. Pray with me if you would. Lord Jesus, how beautiful and faithful is your word, your promise, your gospel, your truth. You have won for us a gift that we can hardly comprehend. And living here on earth, we hardly see the beauty of what it's going to be and what it's going to be like. I pray, Lord, that we would develop expectations that are rooted only in our faith in you, trusting that you, Lord, are working for our good, no matter what the situation is and no matter how things turn out. And so come and bless us, Lord, with that. And set your people free to honor you in all that we say and do. Come and encourage us, strengthen us, and be with us, Lord. I pray for your grace to fill all of us, your healing to be upon your people in this place. And we pray, Lord, that you would find us faithful, followers of you, giving thanks and praise for the truth of our salvation resting fully and completely in you. To you be all the glory, praise, and honor, Jesus. Amen.